Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I do want to talk about the Cardinals in just a bit. Can you guys help me with something? Now, I don't claim to be the biggest baseball fan in the world, but I would say that I keep up. I keep up more than the casual fan. It's kind of the job. And I haven't seen a whole lot of the Milwaukee Brewers this year, but what I've seen, the Brewers are terrible. They're terrible. They're not a good baseball team by really any means. Rob, can we go through the last 3 days for the Milwaukee Brewers? Because they are about as bad of a three-day stretch that you could possibly have. Their last three losses, 20-9, 12-3, 11-1. Can you tell me why they're the favorite today against the Kansas City Royals? Is there something that I'm missing? Is this one of those things like they got to win eventually? Because I just saw these two teams play yesterday, and the Royals did the same thing to the Brewers that the Yankees did. Until the Brewers show me they can win, I will assume that they are going to keep losing. I was just messing around with the app. You're telling me that you can get the Royals right now at plus money? You didn't got to deal with the run line right now. Just do you think the Royals will win today? Yeah, I do, actually. I think they're better than Milwaukee at just about everything. That team that I saw the Royals play yesterday, it looked like the 2025 Royals were playing the 2005 Royals over on the FanDuel Sports Network. That's what it looked like to me. It looked like the Royals had found a time machine and they were playing themselves. Yes, I will take the Royals today. Can you give me a logical reason? And maybe this pitcher for the Brewers is a lot better than I think, or I don't know. But I cannot believe right now that the Royals are a underdog heading into today's game. That surprises me a bit.
My guess, and I don't say I'm claiming to understand it, is this is the Royals' worst starting pitcher, and you're on the road against a team that won 93 games last year. Like, if there's a moment for them to buck the trend, it's against probably the easiest pitcher they've faced at home. Like, that's got to be Vegas logic. I will be playing the Royals on the money line tonight because it seems like the obvious play, but, you know, baseball's a trend sport. Do you think they're going to win, lose, you know, five, six, seven in a row? That has to be the logic. It's Michael Lorenzen against a team that we think is good, and eventually losing teams stop losing.
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, this pitcher that they have, Chad Patrick, who is starting for them today, he pitched over the weekend. He pitched one inning and gave up two hits and two earned runs. So he has an 18 ERA right now.
I mean, even the 06 Royals won 50 times.
No, like, that's fair. Would you have bet on them to win any game?
Well,
would you?
No.
Would you have put real American currency on them? Because that's not what I would have done, actually. I would have done something very, very different. if it was me. I was scrolling around and I saw that and I was like, what? Wait, what did I miss? How are the Royals underdogs in today's game? Yes, like you, I also made that bet as well because I don't know what other bet you could possibly make. Yes, you should take the Royals today. Maybe they'll lose and the Brewers do eventually have to beat somebody. I will take the other team at plus money every single time against the team that I've seen play so far this season. You know, why don't we just keep it with the Royals topic for right now? And I want to ask you this question about the White Sox. Now, I don't want to overreact to the first four games of the season, and it is not a lot of time. But the biggest reason, not the only reason, but the biggest reason why the Royals made the postseason last year is their dominance against the White Sox. Their dominance against the White Sox. The Royals were 11 games over 500 in their games against the White Sox. They were one game under 500 against every other team in Major League Baseball last season. Now, the Royals did what you were supposed to do. The White Sox were bad, and they beat them like a drum last year. And they treaded water against everybody else. And they did that to the tune of winning 86 games last year. They made the postseason. They won a series. Hey, congratulations to the Royals. Well, the White Sox could possibly be improved this season. Now, I'm not saying nothing that's too surprising. I mean, the White Sox were one of the worst teams I had ever seen before. Denny Matthews last year said that he believes that the White Sox were the worst team that he has ever seen. And for Denny Matthews to say that they are the worst team that he has ever seen, I don't know if there is a much greater authority on that topic than Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews. So if the, let's say that Chicago, for example, let's say they improve 20 games from last year. They still lose 100 games. They just improved 20 games, which is a significant improvement. Let's say that they win 25 more games than they won last year. They still lose, what, 95 games? I only bring that up. 25 games got to come from somewhere. They got to come from the Royals. They got to come from the Guardians. They got to come from the Tigers. They got to come from somewhere. What does the math look like in the American League Central, not just for the Royals? Because all of those teams, if you go 41 and 121, everybody was beating up on you last year. That was not just a Royals thing last year. What does the math look like in the American League Central if the White Sox are not as bad as they were last year? You got three teams from the American League Central that ended up making the postseason last year. A big reason was, hey, you had the White Sox in your division. What does this mean for the division if you don't have a team to pick on the way that everybody picked on the White Sox last year?
I think it means that the AL Central is probably not a three playoff team division anymore, right? Like, maybe it was the Royals, maybe it was Cleveland, maybe it was the Tigers, but all three were playoff teams, and all three got to face the White Sox a hefty amount in 2024. If the White Sox just get regular bad, not historic bad, but just regular bad, one of those teams may falls out of the playoffs in 2025. Now, I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe it's the Tigers. Maybe it's the Royals. Maybe it's the Guardians. Maybe they all regress a little bit, and it's still a three-team race for the division. I don't know, but if the White Sox are just regular bad, I don't know the Central is carrying three playoff teams. Or maybe a team we didn't expect, the Twins, they were in it till the end last season. They eventually fell out, but they were battling into September. They're winless right now. Maybe they stink and it just looks the same as last year. It's just instead of the White Sox being the dregs, it's the Twins. Or maybe it's two regular bad teams as opposed to one historic bad. But I don't think we can make any sweeping generalizations, but it does make it feel like the Central is going to be a little different in 2025.
Yeah, no, it for sure is going to be different. I'm sitting here and I'm going back and I'm looking at the White Sox schedule, which is not something I can say that I've done before this exact moment in time. They had 31 wins heading into September. 31 wins heading into the final month of the season. And then they got kind of hot. Maybe we should have saw this coming because they had 31 wins coming into the final month of the season, and then they won 10 games in the final month of the year. Like, by their standards, they actually got kind of hot. They won 5 of their last 6 games. You remember, they won that series against the Tigers at the very end of the year when the Tigers were piping hot at the end of the year. Now, it's just 4 games. I don't want to make it seem like the White Sox are now some contending team, or that's not at all how I feel. I'm simply pointing out, what if the White Sox go from 71 to, or excuse me, from 41 to 68? Then that means the Royals aren't going 12-1 against them this year. That means that the Guardians are not going 11-2 against them the way that they did last year. And now, wins that you had kind of in your bag last year when you got to 86, hey, you got to find those wins from elsewhere. You got to take advantage of the Twins being down this year. You're going to have to sweep a series that you didn't sweep last year. If you're not going to have the sizable advantage that you had a season ago with having maybe the worst team in American League history in your division that everybody feasted on in the division, what does that look like for everybody else? All right, coming up on the other side, we will talk about the best fans in baseball and a revelation that I had. Keep it right here, Mr. Drive.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with C-Dot on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, I would like to read something to you guys about the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, I don't know if you guys like the Cardinals or dislike the Cardinals or where the beef might stand or where it doesn't stand. I don't know. But did you know that on Monday night, the Cardinals had the smallest attendance they have had at New Busch Stadium? Their crowd was 21,206. Now, I understand it's in the school year. It's a Monday night. Trust me, we don't have to go through all the reasons why people decide to stay home for a baseball game. But there have been some markets and some cities that historically they come out regardless. And St. Louis is one of those places. St. Louis is not a big place. It is not a major market the way that a LA is or a Chicago or a New York. But Cardinals fans have always been dedicated to supporting the hometown team and going out there to the game. They do not seem very interested in doing that this season, which then got me to think. Now, I know that some of you wear this as a badge of honor and you're proud to be a diehard, true blue, through thick and thin fan. Most fans are fair weather. You know how many games the Cardinals won last year? They won 83 games. This is the kind of fall off you would have if you guys win like 65 games. The worst attendance they've ever had, coming off a year in which they won 83 games, a year in which they've started 3-1. Fans said, "We do not like what you are buying." Every fan base is fair weather. And I think what makes this at least interesting to me is Cardinals fans have kind of walked like they're above it. Cardinals fans, "Oh, that would never happen to us." It's happening right now. It's happening. Your fans are not bought in. Your fans are not connecting. They're not going out to the ballpark. If you've seen the pictures, I think 21 is being gracious. 21 is, you know, where they do that was tickets sold, not people that actually came to the ballpark. There's 12,000 people at this Cardinals game. That crowd is empty. Every fan base is fair weather. I don't say that as a bad thing. It is an entertainment product. And if the entertainment is not entertaining, then you have the ability to walk away whenever you want. And Cardinals fans have clearly made that decision to walk away from their team. So we got to pour out a little bit of liquor for the best fans in baseball, because right now, I don't know how you can call yourself that if you're a Cardinals fan. You've worn that like a badge of honor. You've worn that like you guys are a superior fan base. You're not. You're just like the rest of us. It was just different because your team was good for so long. Everybody can go out there and support a winner. When you won 85 games on average from 2008 until COVID, yeah, it's not hard to go out to the ballpark every night. You're going to World Series and making the postseason every year. Yeah, it's easy to be a fan then. You know when it's hard to be a fan? When you won 71 games back in 2023. You won 71 and 91. You guys were embarrassing. And then last year was the first time that the Cardinals hadn't had at least 3 million people come to the ballpark since 1997. They ain't getting 3 million this year either. They're not getting close to 3 million. They're going to do worse this year than they did last year when you're talking about attendance. How the mighty have fallen. The mighty have fallen for the St. Louis Cardinals. And it makes me think, and this is a side note from what we're talking about, every single fan base is what have you done for me lately? Every single one. Bill Self is incredible. Bill Self is one of the greatest college coaches that we've seen. Let KU have a couple more years like they've had these last 2 years. Let this carry on for another, this goes into year three and then year four. We will start to have some very difficult conversations about Bill Self. That's just how sports works. At some point, all the love that you have for Patrick Mahomes, eventually you will tell Patrick Mahomes, hey, it's time for you to go be the quarterback of somebody else's team. That happened with Tom Brady. That happened with Joe Montana. It happened with Brett Favre. It happens with everybody.
Peyton Manning.
Eventually, the fans stop loving you. They appreciate what you did. Yeah. And you can come back and wave to the crowd and yeah. But eventually, everybody has an expiration date. Everybody's time is up. And it looks like, at least in the short term, think about, when do they open up New Bush Stadium?
They had the All-Star game like 08, 09 out there, so probably around then, 07, 08, 09, somewhere in that window.
So we're talking about almost 20 years of a ballpark. They had their worst crowd yesterday. And I don't know why it would be much different today. I mean, the weather hasn't changed. It's still a Tuesday. School's still going on. I mean, this is a normal crowd now for the Cardinals. They've never had these kind of crowds before.
I think what you're saying about everyone being fair weather is spot on. I think I was talking about this the other day with someone. Attendance and fan support is like this super catch 22. Because as a Kansas football fan, I've been through a bunch of turnover, and every coach, the first thing they say is, we need you to come out and support, get to the booth and fill it up. And they would, you know, be 2-10. And people would be like, why aren't fans coming? Well, you're 2-10. You're bad. So like, bad teams are always demanding support. You know what good teams never need to do? Demand support, because you show up. Kramer, from who works in the building, he's a Cardinal fan. He texted me that fans are mad at the way they're being run. Yeah, because they're not very good right now. Of course they're mad at the way they're being run. They're not winning anymore, so fans aren't showing up. But watch. June 1st, and the Cardinals are first in the AL Central. The Brewers look like they're bad. The Cubs aren't going to be special. They're first in the AL Central. You know it's going to be full? Busch Stadium. You've been to Arrowhead Carrington. When they had a blackout locally with the NFL blackout rules, so they couldn't sell out Arrowhead. That feels like eons ago. It was 12 years, 13 years ago. If the Chiefs are starting, you know, the Chris Oladukin kid in a few years, and Andy Reid's not the coach, and they're hurtling toward 4-15 or something, or 4-13. I bet fans won't go to that either. Like, maybe that was us saying the same thing, but there's always this catch 22 of the attendance where it feels like bad teams are begging for it. Come and support us. It makes us better. You know what will make you better? Winning, and then we'll come support you.
Yeah, I just always feel like, and I'm trying to think of something, and maybe you have an example. Sports is the only thing that the producers of it, they demand your undying, loyal love of their product regardless of what they do. We don't treat any other place like that. Hey, if you go to a restaurant enough time and the food is bad, you know what eventually you stop doing? You stop eating there and you find a substitute. If your favorite artist just keeps making terrible albums, eventually you start listening to a different artist. Hey, I've moved on. Yeah, I used to love Britney Spears. Well, she ain't making hits no more. I've now moved on to Sabrina Carpenter. That is how it works in almost every other form of entertainment. I don't know how we got with sports where you are willing to watch them regardless of what they do, buy into whatever they do. I don't operate that way. I don't operate that. Now, I'm not saying you got the opportunity to just change teams whenever. You can't 1 year cheer for the Cardinals and the next year cheer for the Pirates, and then you can't do that. But you know what I don't have to do? I don't have to buy into this if I don't believe in it. I don't have to do that. No, why don't you guys hire a new chef? Why don't you guys change the decor around? And yes, I'll come back to your restaurant. But I don't know why in sports we have made it like part of being a sports fan is you got to put up with a bad product. No. And I think for the most part, most people sign up to this. If you look at attendance numbers, it's really hard to get a lot of people out there when the team ain't winning. Because as you said, that's normally the best thing to get you through the ticket gate is I'm coming out here to be entertained, to see a good product, and I believe the home team has a chance to win. And that's ultimately what you were paying for. You were paying for a great night out at the ballpark, a great football game, and you want to leave feeling good because the home team just won. The people in St. Louis are telling you they don't think the home team's winning these games.
You're telling me you didn't go to a lot of Kim Anderson basketball games out in Columbia?
I went to enough to know that it wasn't going to be productive. I went enough to know that it wasn't going to be good. This actually reminds me of what just happened with your team. This is what happened with Sporting. Now, I don't know as much about the Sporting situation as you do, but it seems to me what happened with Sporting was they had Dayton Moore as their head coach. They had Dayton Moore, who was a really important figure, had a lot of success. Things had turned. One of my friends sent me a letter. You guys are writing letters to get that man fired. All Peter Vermes has done for Sporting Kansas City. You guys are writing letters. Hey, man, you got to go. I don't know where you got to go, but you can no longer be the head coach. And they actually responded to the letter. They fired him. Is he in the front office now? Where's Peter Vermes at? He's just gone.
He's gone.
They couldn't even give him a fake title.
He was for a soccer equivalent, he was basically coach and GM. He lost both jobs yesterday.
They couldn't just put him up in the front office to just send some faxes. They couldn't just do that.
They're now selling this whole new era, new regime. We move forward. Peter was part of our past. That's the messaging coming out of Children's
Park. Somebody
got to
go, huh?
We talk about it all the time in sports. If you're failing, someone has to pay for this losing with their job. The example you all used to use is I forget the year. Tennessee ran wild against Missouri. Yeah, someone had to get fired.
Yeah, and then they fired their D-line coach before the plane hit in Columbia. He was fired. they got him out of there.
Sporting has played about a month plus of soccer because they had a couple cups and whatever. They haven't won. They haven't played to a draw. They've just been beat night after night after night. Someone's got to pay for this losing with their job. And when the coach and the GM are the same person, that's the guy who's got to go. Like, it's the analogy you made, and I saw Cody make it as well, about Dayton Moore is perfect. Because the end of Dayton Moore was real bad in Kansas City.
That's what happened.
It was, you could argue, it was some of the worst baseball the Royals have ever produced was Dayton Moore's end. And that's impressive. But he's always the guy responsible for the flag. That's how Peter Vermes is at Sporting Kansas City. He's had all the titles, all the successes somehow affiliated to him, but you can't be this bad. You've got to go. If anything, you can say Peter Vermes had more of an impact on soccer in this community more than just with Sporting, but someone's got to get fired for failure, and he had to go.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, if you had like a soccer Mount Rushmore in Kansas City, I'm assuming Peter Vermes is on the soccer Mount Rushmore. Who else is on this list? I can't think of too many more people who have been as influential and as impactful with the game of soccer in our hometown than he was. I don't know if Sporting is the brand that it is without Peter Vermes and how they transitioned from being the Wizards. Some of you are old enough to remember. The Wizards were not deemed to be cool. It was not cool to like soccer or be a Wizards fan. Sure, they had their following and they have their following now, but they really struggled to get casual fans to buy into it. They have completely rebranded over the last 25 years. And I'm imagining that Peter Vermes has had a very strong and significant hand in that rebrand. Who else is in that conversation of people if you are making a soccer Mount Rushmore?
I'm just thinking of the list. Everyone that I think would be on the list is immediately connected to Peter Vermes. Like, I guess maybe Clark Hunt's in the conversation because he was Clark and Lamar Hunt because they brought soccer to Kansas City. But Peter Vermes was on the title team that they won with. maybe the Illig family that made the move to Sporting Kansas City. Peter Vermees was their manager and chief sporting officer. Tony Miola, he and Peter Vermees were friends. They were the back line that led to a championship. Matt Beisler is maybe on that list. Matt Beisler played for Peter Vermees. Like, I don't know. I mean, if there is a Mount Rushmore, it's like a web and they all connect back to Peter Vermees. I guess the only person on the soccer Kansas City Mount Rushmore that isn't connected to Peter Vermees is maybe the Long family, because they brought the KC Current, and built the stadium. But everyone else you would consider is somehow affiliated. It's like the Andy Reid coaching tree. Everyone's connected somehow to some Peter Vermees in some form or fashion.
Well, I mean, I think we got to keep our eyes open because they're soon going to come fire me and you. I mean, that's how this works, right? Eventually, you get fired. The Patriots fired Tom Brady. No, they didn't fire him. They didn't want to renew his contract.
They chose to not keep him employed.
Yeah, and did not try to bring Tom back. Like, they were just, Tom, no, you can go play for any other team. We are perfectly fine. We want Mac Jones to come be our starting quarterback. The Packers eventually moved on from Brett Favre. The Niners moved on from Joe Montana. Like, we've seen a lot of this in sports. It eventually happens to everybody, and it happened to Peter Vermees. Someone just texted in, Sporting hasn't won in 195 days?
Their last win was in September of 24.
Hold on.
It's been really bad out there.
Hold on. You're telling me they didn't win at any point in the entire football season?
Well, part of that's the off.
I know. I'm just
correct. They did not win in
September.
They have not won. I forget
it's
the
April.
Date.
April.
Yeah. Real bad.
What's going on out there? 195 days.
Mm-hmm. Again, a little bit of fun with endpoints because it includes January where they don't play.
I get it.
But yeah.
I mean, yeah, you can subtract 30 days then from that. They haven't lost that. How many losses in a row is that?
I don't know. There's some draws in there, so like it gets kind of weird.
They made wins.
They have not won a game in 195 days.
How's our guy Jake Davis doing? He doing okay? He's still around?
Jake Davis is one of their bright spots. They don't play him in the right position, which is also one of the reasons why Peter Vermees had to go.
The new coach is going to start getting him to do that, play in the right position.
I mean, that's the goal, but yeah, it's you talk about like you made your jokes about how KU fans aren't, you know, really talking about KU because the Chiefs cloud is just so big with all their greatness. We don't talk about other things. Sporting KC, which was really the first team to win a pro title in town. Like, they won, then the Royals won. They were a huge deal. They have been awful for a while out there. Like, they've been really bad, and it's kind of gone unnoticed because the Chiefs just suck all the oxygen out of the room. But Sporting KC, they didn't sell at their home opener, Carrington. Like,
that ain't good.
That's, I mean, I'm not saying you to be a soccer fan. You're not a soccer fan. That's fine. But you knew as well as I knew. It used to be a cool deal to go to a game out there. It used to be a fun thing to do. They couldn't sell that game out. They couldn't sell out when Messi came to town this year. I know it was like 4 degrees out or whatever.
It was cold.
Couldn't sell out Lionel Messi. It's been bad. So it stinks for Peter Vermees. But these things are why you get fired.
Hey, I read this letter when it first happened, but I clicked on it again. And you know how mad you got to be to write a lengthy letter to a team? Like, you know how mad you got to be? Because I'm assuming, I don't know this to be a fact, but I'm assuming this is the case. I'm assuming that Sporting has shown the Cauldron a lot of love throughout the years. I'm just assuming that. I think Sporting is the best of all of the local teams at this part of marketing when it comes to fans, media. They are very, very easy to deal with. I'm assuming that they've shown this group of people a lot of love. And I'm assuming the love has gone the other way around. You know how fed up you got to be for you to write a letter for them to fire their coach. And then the team 2 days later is like, yeah, no, you were right. No, yeah, it's time to go. I'm sitting here reading this. This is lengthy. Peter, we acknowledge your contributions to the club and to the Kansas City community, but Sporting Kansas City is bigger than any one person. The club's future must take precedence over past achievements. They basically, in a very fancy way, they said, hey, all those games you won, they don't mean as much now anymore. We can't be focused on those past wins. We got to look ahead. A fresh vision is required to carry this team forward. It is time to make the decision that serves the club's best interests rather than personal ones. This is a read right here. You want to talk about telling somebody off in a very calm and professional way? That's what this letter is. This letter is, Peter, we appreciate you, but you got to go.
I mean, they said it more eloquently and longer style than this. What have you done for me lately? Is what they asked. That's the question that that letter is. What have you done for me lately? Because it ain't winning, and we get that you're a big deal, but winning is a bigger deal than what you've accomplished. That is what that letter says, but it's just a full page of 12-point font saying, what have you done for me lately?
I ain't gonna lie. I love a strongly worded letter. I love a strongly worded, direct, to the point, this is how we feel. All of us feel this way. They signed it a group. They signed it the Cauldron. The Cauldron and the South Stand Supporters Club, and they put their little crest on it. They wanted you to know this is official. This comes from all of us. We had a meeting, is what they said. We came together, and we had a secret meet, and we getting you fired here. And they fired him. They got rid of him. Shout out to Sporting, man.
I'm sure this is how they wanted to be talked about this season by us. first topic out of the shoot. Oh, you fired your coach.
Win more games. I don't know what to tell you.
Win any.
I don't know what to tell you. Win more games. And we would have done this.
The last time that we talked sport on this show is when the Chiefs beat the Ravens. Like that.
Yeah. You know what, Chiefs fans, if y'all come together, y'all can get rid of Matt Nagy. That's y'all problem. Y'all not writing strongly worded letters. This championship run has made you soft. Sporting Kansas City, they don't care. They love a strongly worded letter.
No, Sporting loves a letter. Chiefs fans love a nice flyover. That's the what was the they had the banners flying over the stadium. That's their go-to move.
We as supporters are the backbone of this club. We show up, we sing, we travel, we pour our time, money, and hearts into this team because we believe in what it should stand for. But belief alone does not win matches, and unwavering support does not excuse repeated underperformance. The Sporting KC standard has been abandoned, and we will not sit idly by while this team fades into irreverence. Yo, they was getting bars off in this letter. Hey, yo, I'm telling you, the people that wrote this letter over at the KC Cauldron, I want you to know you got my support. I also want you to know I don't have any problem with any of you. Please don't write one of these strongly. We're having fun here. I don't have any problem with any of you. Let me know what charity you want me to donate. I want to help. I'm an ally to the Cauldron, the South Stand Supporters Club, all of this. I don't want to wake up one day and I see on the Cauldron they got a statement about me. I didn't do anything. I don't have any problems with any of you. In fact, I marvel at your ability to get things done. To get things done. This is a KC Tenants level of strongly worded letter that I just read from the KC Cauldron. Hey, two thumbs up to y'all, man. Y'all went out there. Y'all got that done. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. CDOT considers himself a man of the people. And now, he's asking for your help. Please help The Drive in the latest installment of The People's Court.
All right, Rob, we haven't really had a chance to discuss this topic, but I think now's the right time. So I went to opening day, and a big question that people had while they were at opening day is, where's the Joes? So you might not know this by now. Some of you do, some of you don't know. They have put a Joe's Kansas City inside Kauffman Stadium, one of the more popular barbecue restaurants in town, one of the more popular barbecue restaurants in the world. Is inside Kauffman Stadium. And a major question was, how much is the Z-Man going to cost? Because that's what they're kind of touting. You can't get their full menu there, but they selling Z-Mans. So I said, you know what? Let me go over here and let me look. I didn't get a Z-Man because that line was crazy. That line was longer than the one in the store. And you guys know how long the line is. I mean, the line into heaven is shorter than the line during Joe's rush hour. It's crazy over there. I don't go over there when it's like that. I don't mind going over there, but when the line's like that, hey, you know what? I've had it enough. I'll get another day. So I walked up to the front, and people kind of gave you that side eye like I was cutting. I was not. I was simply going over there because I wanted to see how much the Z-Man was. Well, I got the answer for you. For the chicken Z-Man, it's $15. for the regular, the standard, the legendary sandwich, it was $20. Now, Rob, let me ask you this question. $20 for the Z-Man. Is that too much, too little, or just right? What do you think about the pricing of the Z-Man out of Joe's Kansas City and right field at Kauffman Stadium?
And we were talking about too little, too much, just right for strictly at the stadium.
The price,
correct?
Yes. Because I looked it up. If you go buy a Z-Man at the actual location, it is $12.29.
Okay. I think $20 for a Z-Man is too much. And I think there are better, cheaper options that will get the job done at Kauffman. I'm not spending $28 for a beer and barbecue at the K. And it's no disrespect to people at Joe's. They do a fantastic job. I'm betting the people manning Joe's at the K don't do as good of a job as people manning Joe's at literal Joe's. So I will keep my Z-Man, which is probably the best barbecue sandwich in town, at actual Joe's. When I go to the ballpark, it's a hot dog and peanuts and a beer. Just, you got to play the value game.
All right. I think this is the fair price. I think this is a fair price for this reason. You already know it's going to be a markup. It's $13 in the location. You already knew that you were going to pay a little bit of a bump up because it's at the stadium. So you had to at least come into it with the mindset that it was going to be more expensive. I also think you got to pay for convenience. Now, there are some people I think that are like me. Maybe I'm crazy. I didn't eat Joe's until I started working here.
Wait, really? I did not know that about you.
I lived in Missouri. So I'm saying it's like...
But it's right there. It's like it's deep in the heart of Kansas.
I lived out by Lee's Summit. Why would I drive all the way over there to go get barbecue where Jack Stack's not that far away? I didn't really eat at Joe's. Now, Joe's is amazing. And I think you could argue that the Z-Man is the best barbecue sandwich in the world. Like, you can legitimately make that argument. You have never had a barbecue sandwich any more than that. If you're somebody that lives out in Lee's Summit, if you're somebody that lives out in Grandview or just a further out place, I think it's pretty convenient, actually, to be able to go out there and do that. Hey, I don't got to drive all the way to the location. I get one of the best sandwiches. I don't think $20 is that bad of a price for the Z-Man. I think it's a pretty fair price for the sandwich. And I think you also got to factor in, I don't know what the number is for the Royals, but I think you got to factor in not everybody that goes to Royals games is from the city. If they play the Cardinals or the Yankees or the Cubs, a more national brand, and you're coming to Kansas City or you're just driving in, you drive in from somewhere out of town, you're telling me that I can kill two birds with one stone? I can get the local cuisine at the ballpark? I think that's going to cost you a little. You got to pay a little bit extra for that. I think the 20 is a fair price for the Z-Man.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. If you're a Yankee, Cardinal, if you're a Mets fan in town for the game and you're like, hey, I'm already going to the ballpark. The elite barbecue is at the ballpark. I'll pay the 20. But I'm a local, Carrington. I live close to a Joe's. I work a few blocks away from another location. I can go to Joe's whenever. And I love Joe's. But why would I do it at the ballpark for 20 when I can do it the next day for dinner or the next day for lunch night before for 12? I'm getting the same sandwich, just I'm getting a better deal. When I'm at the ballpark, I'm going to, you know, take my lumps and go to the value hot dog stand. Yeah, my meal is worse, but the money I saved is saving me money to go to the Joe's the next day.
Yeah, people are asking how much are the fries and the onion rings. I didn't write that down. I went up there and I just was curious about the Z-Man. So it was $15 for the chicken Z-Man. I've actually never had the chicken Z-Man before. I've only had two things from Joe's. I've either got the Z-Man or the ribs. I've never had any of their other kinds of food. I assume the rest of their food is really good. I assume they make good brisket and good burn-ins and all those things. I've had the ribs and the Z-Man. I'm not going in there for too much other things. You know what I do actually really like from Joe's? They got this chicken gumbo. Fire. I do like chicken gumbo. Gumbo is really good.
I've been there on, they do burnt-ins on Wednesdays. I ain't never had them. Worth the trip out there for burn-in Wednesdays.
I never had them.
That's surprising, the chicken's so much cheaper out there too.
Yeah, I don't know. Are people ordering the chicken Z-Man before? People like the chicken Z-Man?
I've known people who have eaten the chicken Z-Man. I don't think it's preferred to the regular Z-Man, but I'm just...
I'm looking at it right
now.
That's
a pretty steep difference in price for a change
honestly,
of meat.
Honestly, getting the chicken Z-Man, it's not that much different than getting it. So I'm looking at the menu. I'm on Joe's website right now. Their chicken Z-Man is $11.79. $15 for it at the stadium is fair. That's more. That's a more than fair
price. That's a regular at the stadium tax.
Yeah, that's fair. But I would say, though, the chicken Z-Man ain't nearly as popular as the other Z-Man. So, yeah, you want the popular sandwich at the ballpark, convenient right here. You don't got to drive out to KCK or what? Like, there's an Olathe location. You don't got to drive way out there. We're going to sell it to you right here. $20. I don't mind that. I really think that's a fair price. And you know I'm all about the deals. Well, if you want a deal, then you don't want the Z-Man. Why don't you go to the little value little tin and get you a $3 hot dog and a $4 Miller Lite?
Was the line humming out there? Or was it?
I'm telling you, that line was...
Because the line at actual Joe's always long, but they got that thing down to a science.
Yeah, it still ain't worth it. You know what? I'm okay. I'm all right. I mean, the food good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not waiting in that line for Joe's. I'm not waiting. I'll go get another time. I don't want it that bad.
Have you ever been there when it's not a big line?
Yeah. Usually my rule for Joe's is if I can see the line, I'm not going that day.
Oh, so you're an out. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not standing outside. What are y'all selling? Jordans up there? No, I'm not standing out. I'm not standing in line. What are we waiting on? The iPhone? What y'all got? Hatchimals up there? I'm not waiting in line for the food. No, I don't want it. I'm not waiting in line to then give to pay for the food. No chance. No, thank you. I don't want it that bad. I've had Joe's more than enough times in my life. I will have it more than enough time. I'm not waiting in line for that food. Now, if it's inside and you got to wait, you know.
Because there's still a wait.
Now, I only go to the, if I'm going to Joe's, I'm going to Joe's. I'm not going to
gas.
I'm not going to the Olathe one. I'm not going to the, I'm going to the only location that there is. That's the only one in my mind. They don't even have other locations.
You're not wandering around Leawood getting a Z-Man?
I'm not going over there. No. Now, when it comes to the other ones, Gates, yeah, I'll go to all the locations. I'll go to all the different Jack Stack locations. What's your favorite Jack Stack location?
I mean, the closest one to my house is 95th and Metcalf, so probably that one. That one, then Martin City are the ones I go to the most often.
I don't never go to that Martin City one.
That's just the closest location to my home.
If I'm going to Joe's, I'm going to the one on the plaza.
Over Freight House?
Yeah, that's probably my second one.
Okay.
I like the Freight House one. I don't know. Something about the Plaza one. I don't know. Something about like where it is. And I like the one on the Plaza.
I like the Freight House location.
I like the Plaza.
The Freight House location's cool on the inside.
You know what? I don't mind this one over here on Metcalf, the one not that far from the station. I don't mind that one. That one's cool.
I can't believe you've never done the Martin City one. They just renovated it.
Yeah, I don't think I've been to that Martin City one in like a decade. I don't ever go to the... I don't even know where Martin City is.
I got some in-laws in Belton, so that's like a nice halfway point.
I don't even know
point.
Where that place is. I couldn't tell you how to get to the one in Martin City. But yeah, no, I'm only going to one Joe's location. I'm going to the gas station one. If I'm not going to that one and the line's outside, you know what? I'll come back another day. I'll get it another time. It's perfectly fine with me. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, let's talk about the Royals today. They are in Milwaukee. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.